All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the pre-hearing conference in case number PU 13-871, and the purpose of this is to, I guess, set the parameters for the oral argument that's been scheduled for July 28th at 8:30. My understanding is that most, if not all, of the issues have essentially been stipulated to by the parties, but I think we can go over everything and make sure everybody's on the same page and get it on the record, and it'll allow me to get all the information I need to put together an order setting forth the parameters. So I guess we can probably start with Dan. Are you there, Mr. Kuntz?
I am.
Okay, and Ryan Norell, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mr. Kuntz, do you want to begin?
Well, I can. I guess I requested this oral argument pursuant to the commission rules.
Sorry, Mr. Kuntz. I probably should take appearances from everybody before we get started, just so I've got that on the record as well. And I will begin with you, Mr. Kuntz. Can you state your appearance for the record?
Dan Kuntz, appearing for the applicant, Montana Dakota Utilities Co.
Okay. And present in the hearing room, we've got Matthew Olson. Mr. Olson, can you state your appearance for the record?
Matthew Olson on behalf of Capital Electric Cooperative. I guess I can't remember what we're formally. We objected to the application by MDU, so I represent Capital Electric.
Okay. And Mr. Norell, can you give your appearance for the record?
Certainly. Ryan Norell for Public Service Commission Advisory Staff.
Okay. And also present, Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco. Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, can you note your appearance?
Yes, I'm appearing as backup advisory staff, for lack of a better term. And with me is Austin Lafferty, our legal intern for the summer.
Okay. All right. And I guess, yeah, kind of as you indicated, Mr. Kuntz, maybe it might make more sense in this case to have Mr. Norell go first. He's kind of been coordinating everything, and he can maybe lay out his understanding of where we're at with respect to the, you know, the issues to be briefed, the, you know, briefing schedule, and just everything that's been discussed to this point. So you want to do that, Mr. Norell?
Certainly, I can do that. As was noted earlier, oral argument in this matter has been set for the 28th of July at 8:30 in the morning. Both Mr. Olson and Mr. Kuntz have stipulated to filing simultaneous briefs 1 week before that. So that would be the 21st of July. The bills will be filed. We had discussed the page limits. Neither of the parties felt that they would be going so far in depth that we would need a page limit. And so that was the issue on page limits. There was also a question as to which issue should be briefed. Initially, in Capital's objection to the request for oral argument by MDU, Capital had moved to narrow the issues. However, in the work session that the commission decided to grant the request for oral argument. After that work session, Mr. Olson stated that he would like an opportunity to brief on all issues and argue on all issues if deemed necessary. And so at this point, I believe the issues that would be briefed and potentially argued unless parties agree otherwise would be all the 10 issues that were originally noted in the original notice of hearing. Those are the 10 factors that the commission takes into consideration for granting PC&M. That having been said, Mr. Kuntz had proposed another issue which has come up in work sessions, and that's the issue of the having reached a service area agreement prior to filing the application for PC&M. A couple commissioners have mentioned that in work sessions, and I don't know where we stand on that issue. I had suggested to the parties, and I'd be open to hearing what Mr. Kuntz and Mr. Olson think about possibly filing that as a sub-issue. I think it's pertinent to probably the last 4 of the 10 issues the commission has listed on the original notice of hearing. Because I My concern is if we list that as a separate issue altogether, an 11th issue to be considered, then we might run into some public notice concerns there. But I'm open to hearing what the parties think on that.
This is Dan. I concur. I think we can handle it as one of the sub-issues on one of the either orderly development or unreasonable duplication issues.
Yeah, this is Matthew Olson. I just want to – my objection to MDU's request was basically to oral arguments and that I would come into that not knowing what MDU was going to be arguing. So that was my objection. Once the commission opened it up to briefing, I think it just makes the most sense because so many of the facts can be put under different of the 10 categories. So, I mean, I don't anticipate – briefing this a whole lot. I mean, to a great extent, to need page limits, just because, in essence, Mr. Kuntz and I have already done that with our proposed findings and stuff like that. I think we're probably going to be regurgitating that, maybe in a little more depth. But with regards to the service area issue that keeps on coming up, and again, I think Mr. Kuntz and I are both a little bit confused because. It needs to be addressed because the commissioners keep on bringing it up, but the relation to this when we're dealing with the village of McKenzie with 20-some homes, I think we both know what we're probably both going to say in the brief with regards to it. So I think Mr. Kuntz and I can slip that into different factors, and there's no reason to notice that as something different. I would agree.
Okay. Mr. Norell, you want to continue then?
Sure. So I think that looks like we've got the issues laid out as to how those will take care. I guess the next issue would be, I believe all parties, I've talked with both Mr. Kuntz and Mr. Olson and also via email and with Ms. Jeffcoat Sacco. And since it's a procedure, it's a hearing, but it's not a, there's no new admission of evidence, there's no new issues to be reconsidered. It's my position, I don't think that we would need to run any sort of a public notice for 20 days, and also acknowledging that we are beyond that, we'd be running into some other deadlines here as well. We'd probably be looking at changing a date if that was the case. But I wanted to get on the record that both parties agreed that we don't need any further public notice of the oral argument on the 28th of July.
This is Matthew Olson. I agree that it doesn't appear that further notice is necessary, and I would concede that.
And this is Dan Kuntz. I concur. I think this is just the procedural aspect of the proceeding that has already been noticed.
So what you're saying, basically, the evidence has been presented, and we're just arguing the facts to the evidence that was presented at the hearing. Is that I believe that we're all in agreement on that.
Correct.
Okay.
And I don't see any reason for it either. But I'm glad to know that we have formal statements from the parties. I also wanted to remind everyone that it's noticed small n anyway as a commission meeting. So. Right. Anyone who may be interested in observing or listening to this and is paying attention to the list of times the commission is in the same room should see it there.
So it will be streamed. Notice will be on the website.
The notice will be on the website because anytime they have them together, we publicize that, not in a published newspaper ad, but. And also, I expect that they will stream it like they do every hearing, so anybody who's curious or can't attend, even from the company, could listen.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Mr. Norell, you want to continue? I think the only thing that I show left is like oral argument procedures.
Yep, that would be the last issue that I've got on my list here too. Would be. Mr. Kuntz had requested 30 to 45 minutes of oral argument. The commissioners at their work session where they decided to grant the request, to me, it seemed like they were more than willing to grant the 45 minutes to both parties, unless for whatever reason either of the parties disagree that they would not want 45 minutes to argue the application of law to the facts. I would propose that we grant 45 minutes to each parties, and then Mr. Kuntz, you had requested reserving some time for rebuttal or the procedure on that. How would you anticipate that? And then we could see what the ALJ would, how he would like to handle that as well.
I guess I would anticipate handling this oral argument similar to a Supreme Court oral argument, where if I wanted to reserve some of my 45 minutes, I would need to do that. That if I wanted to use any rebuttal, it would have to come out of my 45 minutes.
I would have no problems with that, Alana. Do you see anything procedurally that we might be missing here, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's probably a good idea, but I do think that we will need to explain that. The commissioners don't have it automatically in their head how these things run. We do. You know, you request it at the time you're starting your oral argument, and you request a certain amount, and you know if there's too many questions, you don't get to say the rest. Commissioners are not going to have that feel for it, and so I think in your introduction, Your Honor, just explain a little bit how that all works. And then we should probably find some way to have it. Somebody should be holding time. Are you here, Austin? You can hold time.
I will be here,
yep. You practice for the Supreme Court clerkship. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Olson?
Yeah, I guess my only thoughts is 45 minutes is an awful long time. Mr. Koontz, would you like the whole 45 minutes, or I could cut it down to a half hour to each party. I mean, we're going to have questions? Okay, Alana's shaking her head telling me to be quiet. I'm fine with that. I just think we've already tried this case and done a whole lot, so I feel like we're basically restating everything again, which I guess is fine, but I'm fine with the 45 minutes because we're going to get questions, Mr. Koontz. So I am fine with the 45 minutes.
Yeah,
that's my instinct.
At this point, I don't anticipate using 45 minutes, but part of that depends on what kind of question we get from the commission. I guess if we're shorter than 45 minutes, we can sit down.
Awesome. Okay.
And I guess if it would go longer, I mean, is this a hard and fast 45 like it would be in the court, or if the commissioners, you know, have additional questions beyond that, are they going to have an opportunity to address those?
This is Mr. Olson. I'd prefer it to be cut off because we have re-argued these things time and time again. So I would hope that the questions that they have would be, I don't want to be here all day. I mean, we've already done this. So that would be my perspective, that there should be a, maybe, I know in the Supreme Court, if you're answering a question, you ask for permission to wrap it up. But beyond that, I would like it to be cut off at some point.
Well, I was wondering about that same thing, because the other thing is, if they have a lot of questions for one side and they take 60 minutes or 70 minutes, then that's unfair to the side that only takes 45 that they don't have the questions for. So I think either say no, in which case probably that's a discussion between like Ryan and the commission and perhaps Wade also first, so they understand that's how we're thinking or you're thinking. And the other option is if they insist, then I think you do your 45 and 45 and then you have a further question period, you know, that's more equal, or that you can both answer the same question or something like that. I don't know. But those are just my thoughts. That was one of the things in the back of my mind, is what are we going to do? But
do you like to comment on that, Mr. Koontz?
Yes, I think this is the commission's oral argument. It's the commission's proceeding. I think part of the reason for my oral argument, it became obvious listening to some of the working sessions, that this is probably the first large contested TIA case that some or all these commissioners have been involved in. So I think if there's questions beyond the 45 minutes that, you know, that they want answered or want addressed, I don't have an objection to that. And I mean, and if it gets to that point, if one of the parties objects to, you know, the commission says after the, you know, hour and a half, I've got some other questions, I think they ought to have the opportunity to ask them. Then if one of the other parties has an objection to the question, they can raise the objection, or they should at least be able to, if the question is posed, for example, to me, I would agree that Mr. Olson ought to have an opportunity to respond if we both used up our 45 minutes. But at the end of the day, I think this is the commission's oral argument, and I think they ought to have an opportunity
for us to respond to the questions they have rather than just our prepared arguments.
I guess I've got a question, I guess, maybe for Alana or Ryan. Is this – are the commissioners going to be interrupting as the arguments presented, or are they going to wait until each side completes?
Ask Ryan.
Mr. Norrell, do you have a sense of that?
I don't. It's I didn't really get a sense from our last work session how they wanted to proceed there. Alana and I kind of explained the Supreme Court oral argument procedure, how that would work. Yeah, I don't know if they're going – and I think Commissioner Christman had asked if they'll have the opportunity to stop and interrupt or if this is going to be wait until they put on their case. And I think Alana and I both said, you know, that they would have the ability to interrupt, you know, if you're in the middle of a presentation and there's a point that one of either of the parties brings up that the commissioner wants to really press you on, I think that they should be able to have that opportunity. Because, again, the briefs will be filed beforehand. I imagine that you're – oral argument will be much the same of what's in the briefs, but that's just my thought on it.
Again, I think that's something to – I mean, I don't know if we have to decide it because they're free to decide how they want to do it, but it might be something that you have on your list for the beginning, the introduction, and you say this is how we envision it, but commission, is this what you want to do? And sure. All up front, because they're not going to think of that on their own up front. They're going to – it's going to come up in the middle of somebody's sentence.
Sure. Well, I think that's a good idea. I think maybe we will plan for 45 minutes for each side. Mr. Kuntz will have the ability to reserve for rebuttal. And, you know, as was discussed, if after each side's 45 minutes there are additional questions that the commissioners would like addressed, we can go from there. And, you know, if either party has an objection, you know, they can note it and we can address it at that time. So I think that's how we'll handle that.
This is Dan again. I would just note that I concur with Ryan that if the commissioners have questions during the course of the presentation, I would hope they would interrupt. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, my goal here is to have an exchange with the commissioners and present our arguments on what the evidence and the law means, and I assume that Mr. Olson wants to do the same thing. So I don't want them going away not having all their questions answered or at least addressed.
I agree. That's the best approach, and that, I guess, you know, that really is the purpose of the oral argument. So, Mr. Norrell, are there other issues?
You know, other than just procedural, I was wondering if as far as the time goes, do we want would Mr. Nitschke or Mr. Lafferty or even Ms. Jeffcoat-Sack will be able to, you know, can we have someone with the clock there and you know, just like at the Supreme Court, give the maybe give a 5-minute warning and let them know at 2 minutes that way they're getting close and stuff. I don't know if that would be appropriate.
I think Ms. Jeffcoat-Sack has volunteered Mr. Lafferty if he's available. He indicated that he is available, so
okay.
He'll be there for that purpose.
Sounds good. Besides that, I don't think I think that's all everything on my list.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Olson.
Just one thing, and I know that I've already stipulated to this, so if no one wants to agree with me, that's fine, since I've already stipulated to it. I know that we agreed to file simultaneous briefs a week before.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any day that any – or is there – would there be any problem with moving that back a day or two? Or, I mean, so that it would – that's on a Monday that it's due, which is 10 days away. It's not – it's 5 working days away from this hearing. If we could move it to Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, I would certainly like the additional time just because it is summer. I would rather not work on the next 2 weekends. If I have to, that's fine. But – does anyone have any objection to moving it? And if you do, that I can live with it. So,
Mr. Norrell?
I don't think I would. In my opinion, as long as Alana can let me know if I'm off here, I think if the commissioners had it probably by Wednesday, I think if it came in on Monday, and depending on the week anyway, I'm not sure what's going on a couple weeks before that to there's conferences that they're out for, but I don't know that they would get to it much before the Wednesday anyway. And I think in the past there's been a couple other things that we filed. It's usually like that Wednesday before. Alana, what do you think on that?
I don't really have an opinion. I was trying to remember when we were scheduling this, and you were saying, you know, to allow a week for the briefs, ahead of time, then have the hearing at such a point in time. And I didn't know if they all glommed on to the concept of 1 week lead time on the briefs. I can't remember from that discussion if it was important or not.
I'll admit that I was the person behind the 1 week. I figured that if we could get the commitment to a week up front, then I wouldn't want it any more than the Wednesday prior. I think that's probably getting close, because then we're all going to be working on that weekend beforehand to get the issues.
Could we ask for noon Wednesday?
If we agreed that we would file them electronically by the close of business on the 22nd, that's Tuesday, that way the commission would have copies available to them Wednesday morning, all day Wednesday. I mean,
that's good.
I can.
Basic, an extra day, and if we did electronically, then that allows us up until 5 o'clock to get it out and get it electronically filed, and without chasing somebody up to the commission offices that afternoon.
That's fine. So basically, we're going to submit them by that Tuesday, the close of business, which is 5
right. p.m.
Okay, that's fine with me. Thank you for the additional day. That helps with the getting it filed. Thank you.
Let's see. Mr. Kuntz, did you have anything else?
I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Olson?
Nothing further. Thank you.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, anything?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Oh, there was one thing. There's no reply briefs, obviously. Then the deadline, both briefs, is the 22nd, 5 p.m. And Mr. Norell, anything else?
Nope, not that I can think of. I think we got it all. Thank you.
Okay, and I can put together an order reflecting everything that's been addressed with respect to the procedures and get that served on the parties. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for your time, folks.
Either hang up, or we're going to push exit. And now we're going to push off.